Hey everybody, just wanted to give you a heads up here. There's some audio issues just due to our recording process on Discord that caused us to switch over to Skype. So there are a couple of spots that are kind of sketchy here up here in the first 10 minutes or so of the show. I had to cut out my What I've Been Doing segment because it was completely messed up. And you'll probably be able to notice when we switch from Discord to Skype. It'll sound a bit worse. Nothing too bad, I don't think, but just giving you a heads up there. But thank you for sticking with us and enjoy the show.
America and all of our listeners all over the world, you are listening to yet another exciting edition, this time a post-election edition of Let's Weekend. I am your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. Joining me as always is Chris Sologi, Teresa Sammons, and Patrick Mifflin. Say hi, everybody.
Oh.
Hey. Right?
Yes.
My bells have a new lease on life.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's over. We did it. And holy crap, was it down to the wire, like at the very last minute. In fact, they didn't officially call the election until this morning.
A few hours before the show.
Yeah. Originally, we were going to go live on Friday, but then some things happened.
It's probably a good thing we didn't.
Yeah. But ultimately,
this is not the episode we would have had to give.
No. But yes, ultimately, it is official. Joseph R. Biden will be the 46th president of the United States, and Kamala Harris will be the 46th vice president and the first woman, first person of color, and first South Asian.
Not the first person of color. There was, half native, vice president back in the day.
Point taken.
Okay.
Still a woman, and still South Asian.
Weird
though.
Little FYI.
So.
Oh hell yeah.
And black.
Still. Yes. Absolutely land breaking.
So. Yeah, the whole race was incredibly close. The polls opened on Tuesday, officially, and it was basically just clenched anuses all through the week.
Yeah,
was the story of the rabbit mayor.
Yeah. Basically, I mean, we'll be talking about this all through the show because, again, this is basically going to be the majority of the show for this week because a bunch of stuff happened involving this. But essentially, what happened is a lot of people had predicted that Tuesday night we were going to experience what they called the Red Mirage. And that ended up actually happening. It looked for a little while like Trump had actually managed to get another blowout. But then very slowly, as they started counting all the votes, some of the states ended up flipping. One of them being my home state of Georgia.
Yes.
Thank you, Stacey Abrams.
Yes.
You can thank Stacey Abrams for that.
Yes.
And you can thank
black people in general.
Yeah.
They're pretty much the ones responsible for the various states flipping.
Yeah.
Philadelphia, Detroit, Atlanta, all that stuff.
Not only that, but my home city of Macon, Georgia was blue.
Wow, nice.
Really?
Yeah, pretty much. Well, I mean, again, Macon is like a majority African American population, so it was definitely going to happen.
Yeah. Stacey Abrams got like what 800,000 people signed up to vote that hadn't done it before.
Yep. And because of her efforts, Georgia went blue, and his lead now is last checked is like over 9,000 votes. It's more than likely going to go to a recount.
I think they said they're going to do it.
Yeah, because state law, basically, when it's that close, they have to do a recount.
It's not because of a lawsuit or anything. No. It was because it met exactly. the standard for a recount, and if Trump had shut up for 5 seconds, he would have known
yeah. later. So yeah, he basically managed to rebuild the quote-unquote blue wall. Calico, Nevada, Arizona. He got Arizona of the solid South. Georgia ended up going blue.
That when I saw that, I'm like, oh yeah, my goodness.
That's a game changer right there, folks. I did not expect it was going to be my state that would do it, though.
That's got to be a hell of a feeling.
It's a proud
moment.
Oh,
it is. I got to tell you, though, I've been saying this for the last couple years. The state of Georgia has slowly been changing, and a lot of it has to do with the incoming of the film and television industry. Now that Georgia is like a major sort of cultural hub for, you know, places where a lot of film and TV places like to come and film now, because, you know, we've got like a, you know, state government sort of subsidizes that stuff. And of course, you know, all of the college towns as well. So, you know, Atlanta has Emory, Athens, of course, has UGA. I can't remember which one that has Georgia Tech. I wanted to say Albany, but I'm probably wrong. And of course, the meltdown has been just beautiful. Just it's a work of art.
Yeah, it's been throwing tantrums today.
Yeah,
on his Twitter after he got back from golfing.
Yeah,
to people chanting "loser" at him.
Yeah, he. There are now more people that are gathered celebrating outside of the White House than people that were at his inauguration. So
that's delicious.
Yeah.
Oh, that is. Yes. That is better than carrot cake.
Oh, and there's also there's at least one picture showing him looking outside of his limousine window and the reaction on his face when he realized what's actually happening. But anyway, because we got a lot of show to go through and a lot of topics to cover, we will save all of that for the rest of the show, because we got a love to stuff in here. So we shall start this off as we always do, what we've been up to this week. So yeah, Pat, what about you?
Yeah, we cut the first episode of Gamers Without Borders back on Wednesday, and I've just got to kind of coax it through post at this point before I can get it added online. But it went really well, and I feel like we're really onto something special with that show.
Yeah,
and I'm just really looking forward to seeing where we go from there, because it was some of the best discussion I've had. You know, on a podcast altogether. And there are so many topics we can take on and so many directions we can go with it that in many ways it kind of crosses the original concept I had for the Day Zero update with a much more DIY kind of approach to gaming. And even I don't know exactly how that's going to play out, but I could not have been more pleased with how the premiere episode went. I've just got to hurry up and get it posted. Other than that, I'm working on a little bit more site stuff, and I'm going back on keto.
Yeah,
because I've been.
Are you doing it with? Are you doing it with like a doctor's assistant?
No, I mean, this isn't my first rodeo. Back in, I think it was 2007, I was on keto and I lost like 45 pounds in 6 weeks or so. And so, it's just, you know, so much has happened in the interim there that I couldn't really focus on it. And a good deal of keto is focus and planning. And so now I feel like I can finally get back to doing that. And so I've got all of this. I've got a lot of Sunkist and a little bit of Malibu. Mm-hmm. And I have to make all of it disappear before I get started on keto. And I will make it disappear in my stomach.
All right.
So that is how I'm spending my weekend. But other than that, I'm just really looking forward to doing the next episode of Gamers Without Borders and you know, and working on some of this extra site stuff that we've got coming up. And this is just something that I've kind of concocted on my own, but I'm hoping we can turn it into something. So stay tuned for that. And that's been pretty much my week.
Teresa, what about you?
Pretty much just my maintenance games. Animal Crossing, I finally got around to doing the Halloween thing. So that was nice. And now that it's November, I could work on whatever. I don't think there's any new insects, but there's probably new fish and new diving that I can do. Right. And I also heard a rumor that cooking is coming to Animal Crossing.
Oh wow.
So we'll have to see how that goes. Yeah. But I've been playing Kingdom Two Crowns. There was a new update that pushed out on that. We've been playing the Steam version, doing co-op. So yeah, we've been trying to see what the new updates are. One of the things that we noticed so far is that winter doesn't last so goddamn long. Which, I mean, that's a relief. And the AI on some of the builders, it's better. They don't just run out there like stupid idiots and wait to get clobbered by the greed. So, yeah, that's good. Played a little bit of Hades. I really need to dedicate some time to doing that and getting further in the game. What is that 13 thing that I'm playing that I haven't gotten back to in like 3 weeks now? But I've been thinking about it and I want to get back to it. But like Chris said, it's been nice outside. We've been doing some other stuff. But we have been watching a good bit of TV. Just like a shit ton of Bob's Burgers. So much Bob's Burgers. and that's good because we've got, we've got other stuff that we're watching that is now, you know, like weekly things, weekly episodes. So we've got Discovery that we haven't watched from this week, and we have this week's Mandalorian to watch. I think, well, maybe that's the only things that we're watching that's weekly. Yeah, I think so, because before that we've been doing Lower Decks, but that wrapped up right before Discovery started. So that's really about it. I did... I mentioned this while we weren't recording. I did sell off my older gaming laptop, my Razer Blade. And so now it lives in the hands of a 14-year-old in Michigan. And, you know, I didn't think when his parents contacted me on Facebook for Facebook Marketplace, because I was selling it local. And they're like, will you ship it? And I'm like, oh, it's just, as soon as I tell them that I only take Venmo, they're going to be like, no, but we only do PayPal so I can scam you. They actually weren't scammers. They were legit buyers.
Oh, wow.
I know. And so we exchanged phone numbers and started doing texting and whatnot, and it went over really well.
Mm-hmm.
So what the hell? But I'm not necessarily planning on replacing a gaming laptop at the moment. So I don't know what I'm doing. I'm holding, basically. I'm just trying to hold off until stuff in 2021 gets announced and we'll see. And I'm still carrying a torch for that old Alienware.
Yeah, you're going to end up fixing that.
Yeah, yeah. As soon as my buddy Art is able to go back into his office and has the time to fool around with it, you know, because he has stuff to do. He has the right equipment to replace that BIOS chip. But Phil had some other suggestions. And frankly, I'm not going to get around to him this weekend, but maybe during the week I will. Because we still have to figure out how to get a 6-foot countertop with an integrated sink out of our bathroom without blood.
Exactly.
That's the only thing, man. I don't care if we get holes in the drywall. I'm only worried about the blood. That's a lot, but that's what I was doing.
All right. And finally, as for me, I've primarily been playing Cold Steel 4 still. I finally got Ring back, so now the real game begins, I guess. But yeah, that whole like procession of events up to Ring is almost like an entire game in and of itself. 'Cause so much shit happens between then and there. But yeah, so, and also because now it's you know, basically free for PSN for PS Plus subscribers. Started playing Middle Earth: Shadow of War, which is of course the sequel to Shadow's Mordor, and also infamously just originally was just lousy with microtransactions. Not really now. And you know, it's like the original Shadows of Mordor. It's good. It's kind of plays like a like an Assassin's Creed game, but in Lord of the Rings world. So, although they do like make some odd like ideas, like for some reason, you guys remember Shelob, right?
Yeah.
The giant spider.
Yeah.
For some reason, they decided to make it that Shelob isn't necessarily just a giant spider. She's actually a pretty, mostly naked lady inside of a giant spider.
Oh, for the love of God.
I mean, I'll be the first to admit that, you know, Tolkien's universe is shockingly sexless and a little wooden in parts, but it could have done a little better. You could have done it better. also, as usual, the reading. Nothing really to report there. And mostly, I've been enjoying the drinking of Magateers after having had my butthole clenched for the entire week. and we will be getting into that a little later when we get to it. But before we do all of that, do we have anything else we want to add before we move on? No? Alrighty then. Well then, it is time for everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. And this week we're going to sort of do a sort of brief one because, again, we got a lot of show to cover. And so I want to, because I realize now that, you know, I'm in my mid-30s now, and there's now been a generation or two now that was born that was either was not alive when this happened or was too young to really care or know about it when it happened. But, you know, I was roughly like I think I was like 14, 15 when this happened. Here we go. The presidential race of 2000. And the reason we're bringing this up is because a lot of people were afraid we were going to have a repeat of that happen this year.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah. I was really afraid of that.
So the presidential race of 2000, what is significant about it? Well, on the very sort of basis, like the basic facts, it was the race between former Vice President Al Gore for the Democrats, and on the Republican side, it was former Texas Governor George W. Bush, who, of course, was the son of George Bush Sr., who had been president before Bill Clinton, and also had been head of the CIA for a little while. Famously, probably should have gone to jail after Iran-Contra, but that didn't happen. And basically, a lot of things that happened in the race of 2000 basically more or less define modern American politics in many different ways. For one thing, it basically permanently split the schism between the Democrat and Republican voting populace, probably for good. After the Reagan administration and then the Bush administration, which, let's be honest, that one term he had was basically just a continuation of the Reagan administration. Then came the surprise win of William Jefferson Clinton, who was then president until around 2000. Pretty much almost immediately, the GOP basically lost its damn marbles.
It really did.
I know it seems weird that people would think, wait, you mean they were already crazy?
No.
Well, the crazy had started building up in the 80s, thanks to Reagan. But after but after Reagan, then came the I think it was the 1990. It was the Republican National Convention, and you had Newt Gingrich, and you had Pat Buchanan, all, and of course you had what's his name? Frickin' Bush's vice president. I can't even remember what his name. Yeah, Dan Quayle, who basically started the whole idea of the culture war there.
Yeah,
and they,
and there was Gingrich's congressional
so-called contract with America.
Well, which, no, I'm talking about the thing that he handed out in terms of discourse for the GOP for the congressional Republicans specifically.
Yeah,
where we got a lot of. Where we got a lot of little gifts like, you don't say they support gay marriage, you say they're anti-family and things like that.
Yeah.
That was where the where politics in the U.S. really went to shit. Mm-hmm. And I think everything that we're seeing today can be traced back to it.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, Jerry Falwell was there. And
there was a lot going on during that one. And I was young, and I did vote in that one.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually voted for Bush.
Yeah. And then, to the shock of just about everybody, Bill Clinton managed to actually win it. And part of the reason people were convinced that he was going to lose was because, you may not know this, but old Bill was a bit of a horn dog. And he had already been in the middle of a sex scandal during that particular race. Then he went on the Arsenio Hall show and played saxophone, and everybody completely forgot about it. And basically, like, all of the stuff about, like, because the Clinton era was where, like, the militias started to show up. That was when Alex Jones got his start, was during the Clinton era. The Falwell and the religious right kept putting around, were the ones who kickstarted the conspiracy theory about the known as the Clinton kill list. The most famous being Vince Foster, who sadly committed suicide, but they were convinced that it was a hit job, mm-hmm. even though Vince Foster had been a lifelong loyal Democrat. And then, of course, after all that, you have all that craziness and insanity and just intense shit happening all through that era, all the way up to 2000. And keep in mind, after all that, we also had Monica Lewinsky. We had the awfulness that was the Columbine shooting. We had the Oklahoma City bombing. We had a rash of anti-abortion terrorism. It was intense, basically.
Mm-hmm.
We had the first bombing of the World Trade Center, which happened in 1996. We had the bombing in the Atlanta Olympics. Just a lot of shit. It was intense. And so, the Bush campaign basically, went and got all the shit that they had gathered up to that year, and they threw it as hard as they could. And it almost didn't work. there was a lot of shit that was built up. And then on election day in 2000, we got a bunch of first things. You know, the 2000 election, that's literally where the whole concept of a red state and blue state originated from.
Yeah. And that was what I was referring to as my first election. I was old enough to vote for Clinton a second time, but I did not vote.
Yeah. 2000. So that's how the red state, blue state thing came from. And then it was very close. Again, much like this, a bit closer than it was this time. And it all came down, once a fucking again, to Florida.
Yeah.
Because for some reason, it's always fucking Florida. And basically, if you've ever wondered why it is now that so many news stations are so, I guess you could say, reticent to call an election on election night unless it's an absolute blowout.
This is why.
This is the why. It's the 2000 election. This was, at first, you had news stations calling it for Al Gore. And you had news stations calling it for George W. Bush. And then, finally, everybody called it the famous phrase, too close to call.
And then Jeb Bush got in there with his bullshit.
Yes. Jeb Bush, for the record, was the governor of Florida at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And
funny how that works, huh?
Yeah. And he forced a recount. Another thing people just started to realize as it happened is that apparently the ballots that they had been using in Florida were kind of sketchy and kind of shit. A lot of people had to rely on this thing where they had to poke holes into it. Because like there was like a square like next to each person, and in order to cast your vote, you had to like poke a hole through it so that the square would go completely through it. Unfortunately, some people didn't punch it hard enough, so you ended up getting what famously that famous another famous phrase that came from this, the hanging Chad.
Mm-hmm.
And all of this finally came to a head when a little thing happened called the Brooks Brothers riot.
Oh, you're gonna bring that up.
Yeah.
Good.
So
people need to know.
Yeah, okay. So you know how during the last couple of days you saw footage of Trump supporters, you know, chanting outside of polling places going either stop the count or count the votes, depending on how well Trump was doing at any given time?
Mm-hmm.
Well, people started bringing up the Brooks Brothers riot. And the Brooks Brothers riot was literally a group of paid GOP thugs dressed up in three-piece suits, basically intimidating the pollsters. And I forgot what city it was in.
I believe it was South Beach.
It was in South Beach. Basically intimidated them into stop counting votes. And it was organized by none other than Roger Stone.
Yeah.
So it ultimately went to the Supreme Court, and the conservative Supreme Court gave it to Bush.
And can you even imagine, like, how different our world would be right now if Al Gore had actually gotten in? How much better we would have been with the environment? It's just such a wasted opportunity. Yep.
And then a few months later, 9/11 happened. And that basically...
That's when everybody shut up about, raging against Bush.
Mm-hmm.
Because at that point, we just fucking had to focus on something else.
Yeah, because otherwise, if that had been the case, he would have been a one-term president. I can absolutely guarantee that.
Yeah, because I sure as shit didn't vote for him again.
No.
I got older and wiser.
Yeah, and so that was the 2000 election, and basically all of American politics since then is exactly as you know it now. That election officially started all of it. And that has been yet another edition of Brandon's Random Factoid. Now, are you ready?
Better be.
All right, here we go, folks. So, we will now go on to the show proper, and as always with the show proper, we start off with our assholes of the week. And all of our assholes and heroes of this week are going to involve the election, so get ready. So, we start with assholes and random fuckery. Start us off. In Texas, the Republican Party tried to get 127,000 drive-through votes tossed in Harris County.
Yep. They initially went to the state Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
Then it got tossed out.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a federal suit that then a federal judge tossed out.
Yeah.
Because they alleged that drive-through polling was against the Constitution.
Pretty sure they didn't have cars or drive through anything when the Constitution was ratified, so...
Yeah, trying to see if they have any quotes here or whatever, but...
It doesn't matter. It was a dumb bullshit argument and wasn't really worth... honestly, it's not worth going into details for. It was dumb. Yeah. It was very obvious voter suppression.
Yeah.
And what was the ultimate outcome of that?
They were told to go fuck themselves.
Yep. Exactly.
That they're going to keep all their records on those specific votes.
All right. And then before the election, one of Joseph Biden's campaign buses almost got run off the highway by a bunch of Trump trucks. And because of the threat of violence, there was a campaign event that ended up getting canceled.
Yep, and the FBI is investigating the incident.
Yep. This is not a case of, like, you could possibly mistake it. No, it's very obvious what they were trying to do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
they're literally crowding around the bus and any passerbys. One van that was near the bus got swiped and pushed out of the way by these idiots.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of the weird things after the election. I think it was Kevin Sorbo on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, God. If Biden is so popular, where are the flags? And all this is like, because they know it's a fucking tacky, shitty thing to have.
Yeah.
Because every single Trump flag I've seen is stupid and tacky.
Yeah.
I've even seen one that's the American flag, but with assault rifles.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's made to dupe people into giving up your money for stupid flags.
Yeah.
They're not worthless because Trump 2020 ain't happening.
Mm-hmm.
So get
fucked. That's right. Oh man, all that cheap Chinese garbage is going to have to go somewhere. It's going to fill a landfill.
Yep. It's going to save it for Trump 2024.
Trash belongs in the trash.
Yeah. Let's see, next up. Oh, yeah, a representative won his election in North Dakota. Only problem is he had died from COVID-19 a month earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awkward.
But now the Republicans control that seat, so they can assign somebody else to it. So, good job. You voted for a dead man, people.
Mm-hmm.
He died October 5th.
Both Uber and Lyft managed to fleece voters in California into improving Prop 22, which, if you don't know what that means, it basically just means that their drivers are now contractors and not employees, so they're not eligible for benefits. To
classify them as employees, so they get benefits and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And ran a big, huge campaign spending hundreds of millions of dollars to trick people into voting for them so they can keep them as contractors and not have to do anything.
Yeah, I actually got hit with some of their ads on YouTube way out here in North Bumblefuck, Utah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So they threw money at that.
Oh, yeah.
And now they're looking to spread this shit all across the country because it worked. Yep.
All right. Steve Bannon finally got his Twitter account permabanned. And the reason is because he had a video. He posted a video where he basically suggested that Dr. Fauci and the director of the FBI should be beheaded and have their heads put on pikes outside of the White House.
You know, words have consequences.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't think he has an.
Now that sounds like a terroristic threat to me.
Yeah. I don't think he has a personal account on Twitter. So this is one representing this show that he's doing, Bannon's show called War Room Pandemic, which was also on YouTube and Facebook. Those just got pulled.
Yep.
I believe on YouTube he's got one strike. So they go by a three strikes and you're out thing.
Yep.
Which I would say one of those should be being Steve Bannon.
Mm-hmm.
It should be an automatic strike.
Yeah.
I think Donald Trump Jr. was also part of this, promoted this video.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he's a smart person.
Oh, yeah.
So smart.
Mm.
And also smart, his lawyer left him as a result of this. Like,
yep, he's like, yep, I'm out.
Can't deal with this idiot.
Yeah. Oh, yes, and this. Mr. DeJoy, the Postmaster General for the United States Postal Service, refused to follow a federal judge's orders to sweep facilities for leftover ballots to deliver.
Yeah.
That sounds like contempt to me.
Yeah.
It sure does.
And ultimately, it was all for naught because, again, he still lost. So.
Yeah, election interference. You could throw out this one count for each vote.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't worry, folks. He's not going to be Postmaster General for much longer. He's only got until January, and then his ass is getting kicked out.
Dick.
Oh, yeah.
I think it even got to the point where the judge was just getting fed up with these people.
Mm-hmm.
To the point of them arguing, like, well, we'll have to check their schedules. He's like, he basically was saying, like, motherfuckers, you set the schedules.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You could fucking get them here right now.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's suggesting there's going to be a hearing or some sort of testimony from DeJoy at some point soon to get to the bottom of this, saying someone may have a price to pay for this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, so after that, we've also got – oh, yeah. So unfortunately, a couple of assholes did win election to Congress. One and two state legislatures. One of them is Aaron Coleman, who won a seat at the Kansas State Legislature in spite of the fact that he has a history of domestic abuse and revenge porn.
Shocking.
Jesus yeah.
Christ. Yeah. He is now 20. He said, oh, this happened in middle school. That's in my past. Like, that was like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you? then he was just taunting people on Twitter afterwards. Mm-hmm. He claims he's a democratic socialist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, picture with him with a Black Lives Matter shirt on or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, very much talking about, if you didn't want me here, you should have put somebody else against me.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause he ran unopposed. There was a writing campaign, but didn't quite work, but he did get a lot of publicity through Glenn Greenwald.
Yeah.
Who promoted him, kept him in the race. He was thinking about resigning at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Kept going, and, you know, I guess be a 20-year-old in their state legislature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and also we got the new youngest member of Congress, which is Miss 25-year-old Madison Cawthorn, who announced his victory with Cry More Lib tweet.
Yeah.
Which, real classy. Good job.
Yeah.
Trump isn't going to be there to protect you.
No.
Also, this guy is disabled. He's in a wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good job being an asshole in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
Yeah, this guy's in North Carolina.
Yeah.
A seat over there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The current youngest member is AOC.
Yeah.
Who is... she's 31? I thought she was 30.
Well, yeah, I mean, she's been in there for a year, so...
Yeah. Okay, she was 89.
Yeah, I mean, she was elected in 2018, so...
Yeah, I thought she had just turned 30.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, she's
31, October 13th.
Mm-hmm. And finally, as the race turned against his favor, President Trump went on national television and, well, yeah, you go ahead and explain it, Chris.
he just went on TV and just whined. That was pretty much it.
But
claiming things
but
like,
where?
If you count the legal votes, I easily win. If you count the illegal votes, they can try to steal the election from us. Let's see, there's going to be a lot of litigation. It's going to end up perhaps at the highest court in the land. We can't have an election stolen like this.
Mm-hmm.
Really? As Al Gore says hi.
Now, see, we won these and many other victories despite historic election interference from big media, big money and big tech.
Mm-hmm.
Not for more than... Wait. Okay, no. That's a different thing. But yeah, it's... He's on TV and whined and showed how pathetic he is.
Mm-hmm. Mm. But, now it's time
Anderson
to...
Anderson Cooper was talking.
I think a bunch of, like, news networks actually just decided to cut away from it, like, midway.
Yeah. Anderson Cooper said, that is the president of the United States, that's the most powerful person in the world. And we see him like an obese turtle on his back flailing in the hot sun, realizing his time is over. But he just hasn't accepted it. He wants to take everybody down with him, including this country.
Yeah.
Accurate.
Good enough description, I think.
Also blame the blue shift on Detroit and Philadelphia, which is, yeah.
You're going to go play in the blame game here, dude?
Yeah.
Really?
I saw Jemele Hill was basically, yeah, he's been shitting on cities like Detroit, Philadelphia, Atlanta, Baltimore, and all this, and they're the reason he's got this L.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And moving on from there, it's now time for the next part of the show to get that taste out of our mouths. It's the Heroes of the Week, and of course, our first big Hero of the Week is presidential-elect Joseph R. Biden, who is now officially going to be the next president of the United States.
Yep.
Now, okay, I do need to be technical here. The actual election is not official until all of the electors go to meet in December.
This is true.
Now, usually electors will go along with what the popular vote has said. So yeah, it's a done deal, basically.
Yep.
We certainly hope so.
Like we said, it was really close. It was really close for... Especially that Tuesday was super stressful, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You know, I told everybody, and I said this like on the week before, I said, look, we're probably not going to get any final results on Tuesday. In fact, I said we probably wouldn't know anything until Friday at the earliest. And well, you know it, I was right. But... If you were going to vote in person after you got home, it was completely okay if you just turned off all social media, you know, cut off the news channels, just veg out and watch Netflix for the rest of the day if you wanted to. And I did not follow my own advice.
It was hard to do. I tried, but I didn't either.
No, I was too anxious, man. I could not stay away from it. I was just too... I was checking updates on my phone while I was sleeping.
Yeah, I admit to waking up at 4 and staying up because I checked to see what was going on.
Yeah. yeah. But ultimately, as you know, the next day dawned and people started to realize that things were flipping and it was like... The so-called red mirage, as they called it, started to dissipate. And although, to be honest, at that point, it was kind of obvious who was going to win because once he had gotten Arizona and Nevada, once he got Arizona, the only thing he had left that he had to get was Nevada, and it would have given him 270 electoral votes exactly.
The weird thing was just how slowly that stuff was coming in.
Yeah.
Even Arizona, some people were still like, could flip maybe?
Which it didn't. And now at this point, it doesn't really matter anyway.
Yeah, those points are elsewhere.
Yeah. He made his victory speech tonight. In fact, I think he just wrapped it up as we are currently recording this.
Yeah.
Like Pat said at the top before we started recording, this isn't so much a celebration as in the feeling of having been constipating for 4 years and then finally taking a giant dump.
True, true, true.
I will say this, though. The world sure is happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you not seen all the people all over the world dancing in the streets?
Yeah. Did you guys hear the fireworks here like 15 minutes ago? Or did my headset
cancel? I can hear them in the background. Yeah.
Your headset canceled.
Oh, okay.
I can definitely. No,
they were going.
Yeah.
They were definitely.
I'm pretty sure we had some fireworks here, too. A couple.
That's impressive.
Yeah. Saw it in Paris. They were ringing all the church bells. Over in Ireland, they were dancing in the streets. There were a lot of celebrations up in Canada, in Mexico, all over the world.
Yeah.
And it makes you feel good.
Yeah, even people in the EU were happy they don't have to deal with his bullshit anymore.
Yeah.
Well, I bet especially people in the EU.
Oh, yeah. By the way, apparently the Biden campaign's already announced, like, first day he's president, he's already got, like, a whole line of executive orders he's going to put through to start repairing all of this shit. He's going to get us back into the Paris Accord.
Like I said, he's got a team ready to for the coronavirus task force.
Yeah, he's already got a task force ready.
He's going to announce on Monday.
Yeah, he's got the – he's going to start restarting DACA again. And of course he's gonna immediately, I hope immediately, deal with the issue at the border and all those people in cages.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, he wasn't the only hero we had this week because we got a lot of firsts as well. All right. So Mari Turner is the first non-binary state legislature in the country's history. And the first Muslim lawmaker in the state of Oklahoma.
Yep.
Wow. Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised they voted that way.
Mm-hmm.
I really am. I'm proud of them, but wow. Yeah.
The Democrat Sarah McBride from Delaware is going to be the first transgender state senator in the United States.
She spoke at the DNC, I think it was 2016.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Actually, having that representation in the legislature is a big deal. Because, you know, the transgender thing isn't just an abstract for state legislatures, for the Congress anymore. There's actually, like, someone right there in the room with you. Cori Bush won a House representative seat in Missouri's first black woman in Congress. And she's especially a big deal because not only is she, like, she got into this. This is literally, I'm pretty sure this is, like, her first foray into political office.
Hmm.
Yeah, she's part of the crowd that got in from BLM. So.
Yeah. Especially around Ferguson.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a big deal. Oregon, the state of Oregon is the first state in the union to decriminalize all drugs.
Yeah.
Drugs.
I had someone at work, give a negative, review of that. And I'm like, you know what? Here's some reasons why it's not such a bad thing.
Yeah.
And I brought up opioid addictions and I think it just went like right over their head.
Yeah.
Yeah. So instead of getting arrests and criminal penalties for that, you now get a non-criminal $100 citation.
Yeah.
And that will go towards funding more treatment services in the state.
Yeah. And your drugs will be confiscated. And that's it.
They did legalize psilocybin. Psilocybin?
Yes.
Mushrooms.
Mushrooms. Yes, they legalized mushrooms.
They're also the first state to do that.
Mm-hmm. The state of Florida voted to raise the state's minimum wage to $15 by 2026.
But how did they vote against Biden?
Well,
that's a distinctly Democrat thing, but...
Well, I'll explain...
That's kind of a weird thing. Like,
basically, when we get to the end of the segment, I'll basically explain, because there is a reason why.
It's just weird.
And, Mississippi, the state of Mississippi, voted to finally end the...
I was going to say this about that. They raise it to $10 for next year and then goes up a dollar each year until 2026 when it hits $15.
Yep.
That adjusts annually according to an inflation index.
Yep.
Wait, parody? Mm-hmm. Could we be seeing the beginnings of parody?
Florida, maybe. Nevertheless, too.
Yeah, in Florida.
Imagine if we could do this as like a national thing.
Yes.
Instead of it being $7.25.
Have the minimum wage indexed to the cost of living?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Then from there, the state of Mississippi voted to finally end their Jim Crow-era electoral college-style system for governor elections.
And now it's popular votes.
Yep.
Shocking ideas.
Yeah. But a lot of people outside of Mississippi did not realize that they still had that shit going.
Yep.
But of course, it would be fucking Mississippi that would be the last one to get rid of it.
Yep.
And they also voted for their new state flag. Which, of course, replaces the old one that had the Confederate emblem on the canton. So, yep.
Yeah, this one is magnolia on it.
Yeah.
Which looks really nice.
Yeah. And, of course, it does have "In God We Trust" on it, but I'm like, fine, whatever.
The Confederate part is the good thing to get rid of.
Yeah, it's like, it's the compromise. I'll take it. Many states legalized marijuana in various forms, from decriminalizing small amounts to straight up legalizing for recreational use.
Yeah, so majority of New Jersey and Arizona residents voted yes on ballot measures to make recreational marijuana legal.
Yep.
To which people were like surprised that New Jersey did it before New York.
Yeah.
Voters in South Dakota have approved marijuana for medical use.
Mm-hmm.
Mississippi voted to improve an initiative to establish a medical marijuana program for patients with debilitating conditions. Voters in Montana voted for two initiatives to legalize, regulate, and tax recreational marijuana for adults 21 and older.
Mm-hmm.
11 other states in the District of Columbia already allow legal recreational marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
South Dakota is a second ballot measure that would legalize recreational marijuana, but the votes are still being counted.
Mm-hmm.
Which may have been decided by this point. This one's a couple days old.
But, yeah.
Still, good news on that front.
Yeah. Now, it's still political, but unrelated to the election. System of a Down. Yep. Those guys. Yeah. Remember them?
Yeah.
Great band. I didn't realize they hadn't put out any new music in like 15 years. I did not realize that.
Yep.
Yeah,
but they did. They put out their first bit of new music 15 years this week, and the reason they did it was to address the war in Artsakh. Because for those of you who don't know, Azerbaijan and Armenia are currently in the middle of a basically full-on war over territory. And Azerbaijan is getting help from Turkey, which... You know the history between the Armenians and Turkey.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have listened to System of a Down enough, you know that one of their major themes is exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So they ended up putting out their first new song in 15 years. Go listen
to
it.
Two songs.
Mm-hmm.
You can buy them on their Bandcamp page for $2 total. You can also add more if you want. And that's the funds from orders for the songs and the band's new merch collection will be used to provide desperately needed aid and basic supplies for those affected by the war in Artsakh.
Mm.
So, yeah.
All right.
Get some new music and help out people in need.
Yep.
And they put out, I think, music videos for each of the songs. One's called Protect the Land. The other one's called Genocidal Humanoids.
Yeah.
That's with a Z at the end of humanoid.
Mm-hmm.
And they put out a statement on the whole thing saying, we as System of a Down have just released new music for the first time in 15 years. Time to do this is now, as together the four of us have something extremely important to say as a unified voice.
Mm-hmm.
These two songs, Protect the Land and Genocidal Humanoids, both speak of a dire and serious war being perpetrated upon our cultural homelands of Artsakh and Armenia.
Mm-hmm.
Proud to share these songs with you and hope you enjoy listening to them. Further, we encourage you to read on to learn more about their origins. And once you do, hope you are inspired to speak out about the horrific injustices, human rights violations occurring there now.
Mm-hmm.
Most importantly and urgently, we humbly implore you to donate in some small or large to help those adversely affected with what are ever-growing counts of crimes against humanity.
Yep.
And there's more there worth reading.
Mm-hmm.
And this is in spite of one of the guys being a Trump supporter.
The drummer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who, you know, they put their differences aside for this stuff.
Yeah.
Also, you ain't getting paid for this, so.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
And finally, our last hero for the night is Greta Thunberg, because she basically got to have the last laugh.
Yeah.
She basically used Trump's old words against him and told him to chill after he lost the election.
Yeah. Because when she was announced as the Times Person of the Year last year, he sent a tweet at her. I'm trying to see if they have the original. Well, it's basically the same thing. So ridiculous. Greta must work on her anger management problem, then go to a good old-fashioned movie with a friend. Chill, Greta, chill. So she quoted his or retweeted his tweet the other day saying, "Stop the count," in all caps. And responded, "So ridiculous. Donald must work on his anger management problem, then go to a good old-fashioned movie with a friend. Chill, Donald, chill." Which has over 1.8 million likes on Facebook, on Twitter here.
Just the best.
Yep.
Just great. Yeah, so that is the end of the show proper. We now go on to the proper show proper. Of course, it's not going to be end of the electoral talk because we got more with that. But unfortunately, before we have to get that, we have to say goodbye to Sean Connery, who passed away at the age of, I think it was 90.
90,
yes. He passed away at the age of 90 this week. Although I don't think he'd been in a movie for like 10 years,
if that. Break.
Yeah. Basically, after League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, he all but quit the industry.
Yeah.
Because he hated working on that movie so much that it killed acting for him.
How bad does the experience have to be that it ruins Sean Connery?
Do you know?
Well, have you seen the movie?
No.
And good. No, don't. It's terrible. and believe me, Sean Connery is not averse to having been in terrible movies. He was in fucking, what was it? Zardoz?
Yeah, I don't know.
If you've ever seen that famous pic of him in like a red Speedo with like braided hair, that's from Zardoz. And a awful, awful movie. And yeah, so I mean, he's been in some famously awful films, but of course, most people remember him as, of course, the original James Bond. Although technically, he wasn't the first person to play James Bond. That was actually an American actor who played a Bond on, I think it was like a TV show for. An episode.
Was it for like Casino Royale or something? Was
yeah,
it
was
one?
It was a Casino Royale adaptation, more or less. Let's see. Of course, he was also Indiana Jones's dad.
He was in The Rock.
Yeah, he was in The Rock. He famously played a Soviet submarine captain in The Hunt for Red October, even though he didn't even try to give himself a Russian accent.
Nobody was still fucking good in that.
No, yeah.
I mean, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was also in Highlander.
Yeah, he was in the Highlander. He was also in... God, he was a fairly prolific actor, so he was in a lot of movies. He was... he was also in The Untouchables. He was in... The Name of the Rose. Yeah, he was in a lot of stuff. But famously, he became famous as the first James Bond, James Bond. up to Diamonds Are Forever, which was his last one. Official. I'll say that. Official. He was in Never Say Never Again, which was a 1983 movie that was not produced by Eon. And basically, the whole movie takes a giant shit on Eon Productions at, like, the very beginning. And he had a, shall we say, rough personal life. Trying to hit a few women.
Kinda.
Yeah, that's trying to put it nicely. And he famously kind of became kind of a joke, thanks to Saturday Night Live when, they had the Celebrity Jeopardy segment and he was always like the villain of the piece.
Yes. It was always funny.
Yeah.
Always hated Trebek.
He was a great actor, but he had kind of retired long after he had sort of realized that his career was on the downswing. So he left a great legacy behind him and some amazing films. And, let's be honest, basically every James Bond after him has been trying to mimic his Bond in some way or another. If not necessarily always successfully.
Yeah.
So moving on from there, we're going to open up the garage and we got another fresh load from the COVID-19 dump truck. It's a small one. Relatively small one, but it is still there. So start us off with that. There are now 49.8 million cases worldwide. We're really getting close to 50 million.
Yeah.
And of that, 1.25 million people have died from it. In the United States alone, there have been 9.8 million cases. Again, we're going in fast to 10 million. And 237,000 people have died from it.
It's scary.
Yeah.
On Tuesday, Scott and Jacob both went to the same drive-up clinic that I went to after we got back from Kentucky and I was running that fever. Mm-hmm. They were having some symptoms. They went, the line, I was really complaining because I waited about 30 minutes. They waited 2.5 hours in line on Tuesday, and we just got the results this morning. They're negative, mm-hmm. which is really great because, you know, Jacob had been out at Halloween and he saw three friends.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you guys continue to be more diligent than I apparently have been.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so fucking hard. It mm-hmm. is so fucking hard.
Yeah. And I mean, we kind of knew that this was going to happen.
Yeah, we did.
Because, you know, winter is coming around and, you know, we knew it was coming.
Yeah.
Just having all the shit going on.
Mm-hmm. And we keep setting new daily records for new cases. So
yeah, today's record is at 126,000.
Mm-hmm.
480. So we need somebody that cares to be in charge.
Yeah.
And we're going to in a couple months' time.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we will be past the holiday season when that happens. So
yeah. But it's getting to the point where people who haven't known somebody firsthand, mm-hmm. those days are done. You're going to know someone firsthand.
Oh yeah.
Another one of my mom's friends has it, mm-hmm. and she was with her Sunday. So fuck.
Mm-hmm.
And this is after one of her former coworkers has already died with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going into a holiday season where hospitals are going to be put to the limits.
Yeah, yeah, they already are.
It's going to be more than just COVID-19 for people to go in.
Yeah. And finally, for that part, Stanford study basically confirmed what we all knew. Trump's rallies really are super spreaders, and they are linked to 30,000 cases and 700 deaths.
Yep.
Uh-huh. So, yeah.
That's just... That's overwhelming. I don't think that we could do it any kind of justice.
Nope. And he doesn't give a shit. He just does not care. So, with that, we're going to close it back up, put it back into the garage. So, you know, join us next week. We'll have a fresh load from the dump truck, because of course we will. It's just part of what makes living right now just so wonderful. But now we got some more election cleanup to do. 2020 U.S. election cleanup. First, very good news. And once again, proof that these ladies really are the future of the Democratic Party. All four members of the squad won re-election. Very easily, with very large margins.
Yep. Yeah, that's... especially with Trump putting a target on Ilhan Omar.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to get Minnesota on his side.
Yeah.
And they basically said, fuck you.
Yeah. Omar is still really popular in her district. So it wasn't like she was going to, like it was really going to affect her all that much.
Yeah.
And of course, AOC won re-election, proving no, she is not a fluke. She is there to stay.
Yeah.
Rashida Tlaib won her re-election. Yeah, and now there's going to be probably some new squad people coming in the next session. So the squad's about to get bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it shows how smart they are.
Yeah, they are not a one-trick pony. They are actually going
organized.
To be there. Yeah.
AOC was looking at, because the thing that's some of the moderates and Republicans have been saying, like, oh, it's because of the progressives that Democrats lost some of their races.
No, actually, if you look at it, all the progressives, pretty much all the progressives re-won election or won election.
Yeah.
The ones that lost their seats in the House, all of them were conservative to moderate Democrats.
Yeah. She was looking at some of the races and saw them spending little to no money on their digital campaigns.
Yeah. And
like in the pandemic, you're not spending money on digital campaigning.
Yeah. Now is the time when you start to realize that, yeah, despite the fact that we won, the majority of my ire for this race is mostly against the Democrats. Because, once again, as was the case in 2016, it shouldn't have been that fucking close.
Yeah. There is no repudiation of Trumpism.
Yeah.
We've shown it still works.
Yeah. Also, you need to kick Nancy Pelosi to the curb because she goddamn almost lost the House again. Yeah.
She barely held on to her own seat.
Yeah.
It also just shows that moderate Democrats are the biggest threat to the group.
Yeah. The Democrats still kept the House, but they actually lost seats, and she's part of the reason why.
Yeah,
she tried to freaking primary AOC, for God's sake.
Jesus.
And then there's Chuck Schumer, who a number of his people that he pushed for the Senate seats did not do well.
No, they did not. Spent hundreds of millions of dollars, and it all went down the drain.
Yeah, they picked up a couple of good flips.
Yeah.
We're closer than we've been in a while for...
Yeah.
At least equaling the Senate, if not taken it over.
So even though we lost some seats, the makeup of the Senate, of the House of Representatives is now more progressive. So, okay.
Interesting.
And now for my home state of Georgia, there's about to be two runoff elections for two open Senate seats. At last count, the Senate is still deadlocked between 48 and 48.
Yeah.
Which means there are only four seats now to work with, and
the
runoffs
are Alaska, which is incredibly slow getting counted. There's the two in Georgia, and the last one is I forget where that one is.
Might be Michigan. I'm not sure.
Biden's dragging the candidate over.
Yeah. So, basically, originally it looked like Perdue was going to win against John Ossoff, even though John Ossoff very publicly raked him over the coals during the debate.
Yeah.
But the thing is, his lead dropped to below 50%, meaning it now automatically goes to a runoff election. But as for the other one, Reverend Warnock very easily actually beat Kelly Loeffler. Wow. But
yeah,
it was not
the majority.
Yeah, it still wasn't big enough that it would have been a decisive. So now we've got two runoff elections that will be happening in January.
So Stacey Abrams has her work cut out for her again.
Yeah, so basically what needs to do is that Ossoff and Warnoff need to team up and start going around and running together.
Yep.
Because if they do that, then we'll get two Senate seats, and that will very easily put it into the Democrat control of the Senate. Now, if that doesn't happen, what we end up doing is we can either get a Republican-controlled Senate, which, oh boy, fun, or it gets deadlocked, which means that Kamala Harris will be coming in to act as a tiebreaker.
Yep.
Yeah, I like this line here from Warnock saying, "Get ready, Georgia, the negative ads are coming."
Mm-hmm.
Raphael Warnock eats pizza with a fork and knife. Raphael Warnock even hates puppies.
Mm-hmm.
I'm staying focused, and by the way, I love puppies.
Yeah.
It's his first runoff ad.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's going to be hard to do, too, because Warnock is a former preacher. He's a pastor.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll see what comes from that. Down in Arizona, Mark Kelly beat Martha McSally to make both of Arizona's Senate seats blue.
McSally lost both Arizona seats to the Democrats.
Which means that Arizona is now a blue state.
Yep.
That's pretty amazing.
Yes, it is pretty amazing. Unfortunately, both Mitch McConnell and Lindsey Graham won re-election.
I know. I mean, my family did their part to try to unseat Mitch McConnell.
Yeah.
But it comes down to this. Next time, they really just have to have a man running against him. Because mm-hmm. the past two times, Democrats have put up women, and it's not working because it's Kentucky.
Yeah.
So quit it. Just put up some country club, Protestant church-going white man in a pink freaking button-up shirt and gray pants. They'll vote for him.
I think the other contender was it a black man, Brandon? I forget what his name is.
I forgot.
He was doing pretty well. I think he was the more progressive of the two.
And he was doing really well, but unfortunately McConnell still won. As of right now, the Senate is still a toss-up. And we're not really going to know anything for certain until after January. And now for something that is unfortunate but will be very short-lived. As of this week, the U.S. has officially left the Paris Agreement climate change pact, only to probably go back into it sometime in the next few months.
Biden said it'll be 74 days, we'll be back in it.
Yeah. It's like, just hold out till then. Yeah, and again, like all that other stuff, he's going to get DACA again. He's got a COVID task force all ready to go. He's basically going to spend probably his first couple of months as president undoing all the damage that Trump has done.
Well, his primary focus will be that, but it's going to take a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's basically it for all the election news. We've got a new president coming. Trump is on his way out. And the world is breathed a sigh of relief.
Yeah, that was a little hair-raising for a lot of people, and not just us.
Mm-hmm.
Not just us.
However, I do caution both my fellow Americans and the people of the world, do not allow yourself to grow complacent.
No.
Because he is still president until January.
He's been embarrassed.
He has been embarrassed, he has been slighted, and now he literally has nothing to lose.
He's going to burn the place down.
if he can.
Mm-hmm.
So watch him like a hawk. He's already said that he's probably going to barricade himself in the Oval Office, which means they're probably going to have to physically remove him from it.
Mm-hmm.
Which means I hope that there's just about every news camera in the nation focused on that one moment, so we will have that footage preserved for all time and every angle possible.
I would be okay with that.
But also need to make people understand, this is not the end. This is just the beginning. The Trump era is over, but the damage he's done will take a long time to repair. And keep in mind that in spite of all of this, Joe Biden is still very much a moderate corporate Democrat.
Yep.
So, other than the fact that Trump is gone, very little has actually changed. But if this election and these last 4 years have done anything, it's driven a lot of people further left than they originally thought was possible.
Yep.
Consider the growth of the Democratic Socialists of America and how they have grown. They've gained so many new members over the last few years, almost solely because of Trump. Granted, of course, also Senator Bernie Sanders has a lot to do with that, and hopefully Sanders is going to have a place in Biden's cabinet.
Like maybe labor secretary?
Yeah, most people have been saying he might end up being labor secretary.
We'll see.
We'll see.
Say maybe he'd be better in the Senate.
That's what I think, too.
Yeah. That's, I think, a lot of people would say he'd be better if he remained in the Senate.
Because I don't know who would be the one to replace him.
So, even though we are now on a point now where we can finally breathe a sigh of relief, and that things are, we've sort of retained the equilibrium that had been lost, that doesn't mean this ends. It means we now have to keep fighting. It took the cruelty and the chaos that the Trump administration unleashed on the United States for people to actually start talking about these ideas. We can't let them disappear with Trump.
Yeah.
Well, for how badly he's done with the pandemic and all that.
Mm-hmm.
He still almost got reelected.
Yeah.
I swear to God.
If it were not for the COVID-19, he very easily could have gotten reelected. That is an unfortunate truth that a lot of people have to face.
Yeah, if you watch the most recent Last Week Tonight,
He
did a bit on Trump and coronavirus, and a lot of his people just think that he did the best he can.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Which, like, that's a very low bar.
Mm-hmm.
It's like no bar.
Yeah, and it means that we are going to have to agitate to shake things up in the Democratic Party, and mm-hmm. no more being nice.
Nope.
And that's not just for primaries in the Democratic Party. That goes for politics in general.
Mm-hmm.
We tried to be nice. We tried to be civil.
Yeah.
We had it all thrown back in our face. So
I'd say no more Mr. Nice Stacey Guy. Abrams is head of DNC.
Yeah.
Because she can get them out there.
Bring on the pain.
Mm-hmm. Bring on the pain. And do not let a single one of these motherfuckers remember that they hooked themselves up to the Trump train.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a site that is cataloging all the sycophants.
Yeah, the Trump accountability. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is it's keeping a list of all the people that helped him do what he did.
Oh, did you see the speech or the conference the Trump's lawyers had
mm-hmm.
in Philly?
Yeah.
They were supposed to be at the Four Seasons.
Yeah, oh, God. It ended up being at the Four Seasons Hotel. It ended up being at a
Four Seasons landscaping.
That was like right next to a dildo shop.
Yeah, it was between a dildo shop and a crematorium. Which the joke was, well, then he can get fucked and die.
Mm-hmm. Like, well, then he can go fuck off and die.
and this is like such a perfect summary of the whole fucking Trump administration. They were so inept.
They held this press conference, and the bits I've seen of Giuliani there.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you guys made this mistake and went through with mm-hmm. it. This is how Trump goes out, like in the middle of a street in Philly.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I saw somebody like figuring out more about how this happened. They found like a prime location off of the highway, so they mm-hmm. can get in and get out as fast as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. It was just so funny.
Yeah.
This is why Biden just did this very good speech from what I've seen
mm-hmm.
with drones and fireworks and all this shit.
Mm-hmm.
The Trump lawyers are in a fucking alleyway, essentially.
Yeah, it's just the best.
Next to a wood chipper.
Yeah, it's just the best way to cap off everything, really. But before we go, we still got two more stories to talk about that are completely unrelated to the election.
Hey, we got two.
Yeah.
All right.
First, a train in the Netherlands was saved by a nasty accident because it managed to hit a whale sculpture.
The pictures are so impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like it was just holding this thing up.
Mm-hmm.
Conveniently, so, it's like right at the end of the platform.
Yep.
And yay for Public Works, and super yay for Public Works that can come through in a pinch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this looks like a Fallout scenario.
Yep.
Yeah. Just, oh, this, how'd this train get up on this statue?
Yeah. It literally, one of the tails on the whale sculpture is what's holding this thing up.
Yeah. And no injuries, because it was empty, and the engineer got to safety.
Yep.
Yeah,
and
front carriage rammed through the end of an elevated section of rails
mm-hmm.
and was caught by the sculptures of a whale's tail.
Mm. Yep. Which, again,
these fins are known as flukes.
Mm-hmm. So it was a fluke.
Oh my god, that's great.
Mm-hmm. And finally, last story for the night, and of course it's from Netflix. Netflix looks like it's getting into the satellite/cable world with its first linear channel that it's going to test in the country of France, and it's called Direct.
It's not really cable or anything like that. It's just a means of providing people with limited choice, I guess.
Yeah,
that's like the half the experience of Netflix is scrolling through endless lists for mm-hmm. yeah. what thing seems good to watch.
It's meant to be like basically Netflix if it was a TV channel.
Yeah,
which is fun, I think.
Yeah, so their initiative here just called Direct,
mm-hmm.
Only available to subscribers. Airs French, international, and U.S. feature films and TV series.
Mm-hmm.
They're available on the service. But only be accessible via the web browser version of the service for now for this test. So let's see. The previously tested with this kind of service a shuffle play option,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of picked a random sample of items for you to watch.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's just kind of localized in one country and just... Yeah, like a lean-back experience, as they're calling it here.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of just show some movies and shows and such. You just kind of tune in when you want to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Yep.
And you know what? I think that's just the best way to cap off this little episode.
Yeah.
Because now we will never have to hear that man's voice again against our will for another goddamn second for the rest of our lives.
It doesn't seem real yet.
No, it really doesn't.
Yeah.
Still got it's... 2 months.
Yeah. Yeah, we have time to grow into this.
Yeah.
Grow into the realization of the dream that we have had.
Yeah. But, you know what? I'm not mad at it.
No.
I can, it's okay. I can deal with it for a little longer. We had to put up with this shit for 4 years. We can handle another 2 months.
Yeah. Which I like earlier today, he was bragging about how he got 71 million legal votes. It was terrible for sitting president. It's like, well, I did do really well. because you lost.
Oh, by the way, you know what people estimate the popular vote majority for Biden is?
What's that?
About the same number that Hillary got in 2016. A little over 6 million.
Yeah.
So that's just an extra little nail in the coffin.
Yeah. Though he got to, I think it's about 74 million.
Yep.
Right now.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the most ever.
Yeah. The most any candidate has ever been voted for in a presidential election in American history.
And he still could have lost.
Yeah, he's... Oh.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so with that, I would like to remind all of our listeners that you can get in contact with us if you got a question, comment, something you want us to read on the air at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. I mean, yeah, gmail.com. We have it linked for you in the show notes. Also, on top of Apple Podcasts, you can catch our little bit of unscripted shenanigans at Google Play, RSS, archive.org, or basically any kind of podcast aggregator you can think of. And so, with that, I have been your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. For Patrick Mifflin, Teresa Sams, and Chris Elogi, good night. Sleep tight. The fucker's gone.
Mm-hmm.